Welcome to the 29th Annual Executive War College brought to you by The Dark Report. This year's conference was in beautiful New Orleans, April 30th through May 1st. The title of this presentation is Nottingham University Hospital's NHS Trust's Experience, Realizing a Full Digital Pathology Solution Combined with Lean Workflow to Shorten Diagnosis Times, Improve Quality, and Boost Pathologist Productivity. The presenter is Paul Chenery, Head of Quality, Training and Strategic Improvement, Nottingham University Hospital NHS Trust, Nottinghamshire, United Kingdom.
Thank you very much. So I've got an extensive audience today, so that makes it a lot easier for me. Thank you all for joining me at 7:30 on the second day of the conference. But I guess firstly, thank you for inviting the Executive War College for inviting me to speak. It's a real honour. With it being so early, I hope the words come out in the right order. I'm currently in a hybrid time zone, so I'm from the UK, and it's 6 hours behind, so I'm waking up at 3 a.m. At the moment. So my name is Paul, so I'm the Speciality General Manager for Cellular Pathology at Nottingham University Hospitals. I'm the Head of Quality Training and Strategic Improvement for the division, so quite a mouthful. And we're going to be going through Nottingham's experience of realising a full digital pathology solution with lean workflow and all the benefits that comes along with that. So for context, Nottingham process around 80,000 samples per year and 8,000 cytopathology samples. We scan all of the slides, so that equates to about 400,000 slides or just above, and we have been doing for the last 2 years. Nottingham University Hospitals is the third largest trust in the UK, and we are within the largest operational network within the UK. So for those that aren't aware, the pathology structure within the UK is split into 29 networks with multiple trusts in each. So Nottingham has 8 different trusts within their region. We have specialities like neuropathology and sarcoma, and we're a tertiary referral centre and some nationally referral centres. So I've put the samples there. It is important to note that every year they go up about 4.5%. Doesn't necessarily mean the funding or associated staffing goes up 4.5%, but which is why we had to sort of think differently. And we are split site, which is an important point when we go on to the benefits of digital pathology later on. So I guess start of the great change. So again, context-wise, we have lots of pressures, as I'm sure you all do in the US. So we've got the 28-day faster diagnostic standard that's just been released that we're trying to meet. So that's the intention of that is that anyone should be from referral to knowing whether they have cancer or not within 28 days. So that is challenging. The NHS England have just released a new strategy, and that wants us to hit 98% of all specimens, regardless of complexity, regardless of urgency, MDT, anything like that, all within 10 days, and that's 10 calendar days, not 10 working days. We are UCAS accredited, so that's the United Kingdom Accreditation Service, and they ensure that we comply with ISO 15189, and that's currently going through its new revision in 2022. So our lab's transition visit is in December. We've obviously got to implement digital pathology, or we have implemented digital pathology, and there's all the precision medicine that's coming along, as we all know. So all this in the context of everything on the right of the screen. So a national shortage of consultant pathologists, aging workforce. Something has to change. We've started calling it diagnostic despair. I'm not sure whether that's something we should be calling it, but that's how it feels sometimes. And this is sort of where we were. So the way this presentation is going to go is that it's split into two halves. So the first half is sort of talking around how we've managed the workflow in the lab and how we've changed it. And then the second on implementing digital and then how it creates all of the benefits together. So I started Nottingham in 2022. The digital system had already been installed, didn't make any difference. It actually made it worse. And I'm not saying that because of the digital provider or the digital system, but we know that adding digital into it adds half a day to a day onto the lab processes. So if we don't change anything in the lab process, then of course it's going to make it worse. In the start of 2023, NUH CellPath was in crisis. We had a 3,000 block backlog, 14 days to get immunohistochemistry through, staff leaving left, right, and centre. Terrible position to be in. And then on the back of that, UCAS said they would withdraw accreditation if we didn't improve our turnaround times by August of 2023. So something really had to change. So you can see here, the NHS target is 98% in 10 days. Our backlog, before we even started anything, was 11 and a half days before it's even got to a consultant. So you can imagine the challenge, and that's not considering having to adding up to a whole day with a whole slide images as well. And this is just to represent where we were in October 2022 and the sort of chasm that there was for to meet the target. I think it was, as we go through this, I don't want to sort of pin all of the benefits on digital or all of the benefits on lean workflow. I think they work together. I think Aristotle, he said that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and I would say that is definitely true with this. You can't put a new innovative system into an old process. You need a new process for the new system. And I guess another analogy is for anyone that has children, you know that you have one child, it's an amount of work. You have a second child, it's not two amounts of work, it's four times the amount of work. And that's sort of the benefits that you get with digital and lean workflow. So the first part, just not to labour the point about lean, I'm sure everyone is aware, but we wanted to sort of accept that there's going to be resistance, have open-mindedness, be open with our communication, and move from sort of an emotional, reactive state to a rational, proactive state. The staff already felt crushed by many failed projects of the past, or where previous management have said, we're going to do this, and then there was no support with it. So we had to establish measurable controls. And again, a Kaizen event, part of Lean. Don't want to push the point, but this was really, the turning point for the lab. So time and time again, people have been asked to do additional work on top of their roles, and there was never an output at the end of it. We had to take lab staff out of the lab and have an event where we fostered creative thought, and we needed to reset the minimum standard that was expected. So this involved a group of 10 staff of all grades, and what we did in that group, so it was all the way from laboratory assistants all the way to senior managers, and we split into groups, and we asked the same question, and it was with digital in mind, and it's what are the perceived problems and what are the potential solutions to each step, and we then came back together and came up with some key themes: process, environment, people, too many checks, and too many different information management systems. By having everyone in the same room, you sort of have all the keys to all the locks that are starting. So, you know, you've got the budget holder, which, while ever there's restraint on and constraint on things, they have the power to unlock some of the things that other members of staff may not always have access to that person. You would have the quality manager. They can decide, as they're the ones that are justified to the accreditation body, what we can and can't do. So a lot of systems have been put in place out of legacy, out of non-conformance, out of incidents, and we were generating rules for one rather than for the many. And the new NHSE target is suggesting we go to the many. And I think throughout this, it was always a key focus on how will anything we change integrate with the digital system. So this was a phrase right in the middle of the screen: what cannot be measured cannot be managed. And that is so true. I think in histopathology, we struggle with, I guess, quantitative data. We don't have analyzers. A lot of it is manual. With there being humans, there's a lot of variation, but there are elements that we can control. And we were at a place where there was a busy department. Everyone was really busy all of the time, but not achieving very much. So the first, and I think the greatest thing that we did was introduce the first in, first out principle. So that's well known within Lean, but not always implemented or not often implemented within the lab. We know in histology there is all of these different measures and all of these different urgencies that we're trying to adapt to, but we're trying to say that everything is equitable and we need to achieve it all, and that's the only way we'll get to the 10-day turnaround, by addressing the oldest case first. You can imagine there was resistance to that, so all of the pathologists of all the different specialisms wanted their work all at the same time. You know, they were always the most urgent. This is the part where we said we sort of had to be brave. So we had the consultant meeting. It was explained to them, sat there and listened. But in the end, we can talk all we want, but a decision has to be made. And that decision was to move to first in, first out. And we asked them to give us 3 months. And I said, if it doesn't improve in 3 months, then we will go back to your old system. So quite a bold statement, quite a big thing to say, but it also couldn't get any worse. So I think that was quite a positive thing. We worked through all the bottlenecks, maximizing throughput. One of the things that we did, there was a transformation team, and any change we did, we actively worked in the lab. So that included myself. So if I'm going to implement a change, then I need to understand whether that change is not working because people are resistant to that change, or whether it's because there's something that's been overlooked and doesn't work in practice. And then there's workstation expectations. So I think through COVID, I think the workload dropped for histology, definitely. And then I think so did the standard, and so did what was expected of the norm. So we had to reset that expectation. And this is something I'm very passionate about. So I'm not sure what the staffing structure in the US is, but in the UK, any change projects within a discipline are expected on top of people's existing roles and to be absorbed by their existing role. So what we did in CellPath is generate a separate arm of the department. So we have operational, and then we have a separate branch that's focused on quality, training, and service improvement. I think it can't be underestimated the amount of effort it takes to make a change. We changed the colour of a cassette, and you would not believe, you'd think I told everyone they weren't going to get paid for the entire week. So I think just such a small thing like that has such a gigantic effect. So that's sort of what we did. And then we implemented, and I won't go over this too much, but it's just the workflow we looked at, and it was just highlighting all of the waste steps. And we did look at things, so like in specimen reception, we noticed that members of staff were all getting up to do the same thing, or all doing the similar amounts of things, and what we needed was the process to continue. So there was always one member of staff that was identified to deal with the problem, so the continuation of the work could go through. And then this is just another slide just to highlight, these are all the steps of the waste within lean management, and it was just to show all of the different things that we came up with. And then this, again, is all of these incremental bits of time. This is just showing, I mean, one, that is an absolute disgrace of an area, and I'd like to say wasn't the norm, but at the time was the norm. And it's more to highlight that the top is what management think is happening. A request, then this happens, when in reality what's happening is that blocks get scanned, then waits for something else, then it waits for something else. And each of those steps were done by individual people, so it was reducing these steps and changing the environment. So the next few pictures, some of them are very, not proud about them, and the department shouldn't be either, but they are proud of the environment they work in now. So one of the biggest impacts is the physical change in the department. So this is how things were: cluttered, no order, information that's not necessary. And then it's changed to specimen reception. So our lab is about 40 years old, needs renovation. We can't do anything about the environment, but we can do something about the space and what it's used for. This was in the lab. All of those blocks, lots of different colors. Each one of those, I think I've got a pointer. There we go. All of those are full of blocks. Each holds 250. Lots of colors don't mean anything. They were sort of embedding instructions. No one needs to know that at this stage. I need to know what's the oldest and what's what needs to be moved through. Another picture of the disgrace. And then it's very blurry, but it's changed to the first in, first out system. This is just one day's worth of work. So we moved within 2 weeks from a 3,000 block backlog under the new, and then under the new system to just that day's work. And all of those are just in numerical order now. The colors, we could retain three colors, mainly as an embedding aid, mainly as a microtomy aid. People know cores are sort of in one color, others are in other, you know, resections are in whites or something like that. And it just helps that when they're picking up the blocks, they're not going to make any errors in microtomy. And then ironically, this is the quality control area. So you can see slide scanning was employed at this point. Lots of trays, lots of scan. There's nothing quality about that. And then we moved to a digital system, so digital QC system. Identical areas, the same process, standardized procedure. And that's sort of the end of the sort of like workflow elements of it. And we move on to digital pathology. And I think people look at it as like, well, what's the difference? It's just on a screen. What are all the advantages? It's not just a digital microscope. It's about transforming the way that cellular pathology is handled. The next few slides, very basic and no offense is meant to any pathologists. But this was sort of under an old system. And then we move to the new system. So you can see there's many more steps there, but we've implemented lean processing and then the additional steps of digital pathology. So this isn't my graph. This is one that I'm sure people are familiar with. It's the curve around change. I think I just want to focus on two groups of staff in this. So there's the laboratory staff and the consultants. This digital pathology was the single biggest change in 100 years or hundreds of years for most consultants. Not only was it the biggest change, it was enforced and put on them. They had no choice in it. This was happening. And it fundamentally changed the way that they work. We needed a champion from the consultant perspective. It was no good me saying, let's do this. You all have to do it. I don't understand the nuance of it. So Dr. David Clark was our champion. So he, I would say, is a rarity and falls probably within this phase. And that really helped. So he had one-to-one sessions with consultants. He has a background in lean methodology. And as we moved through, any problems that cropped up, he was the one that dealt with it from the consultant perspective. Lab staff in general are used to change, whether they like it or not. They're used to small change incrementally every single year and actually get excited about a big change. So that wasn't a challenge for us within CellPath. And then consultant validation and reporting. So I mentioned earlier we scanned all of the slides. That didn't mean that every speciality went live with digital reporting at the same time. We've got 12 different specialisms in CellPath, and it would have been chaos if we'd have expected it all to go at once. There is a decrease in turnaround time and productivity when digital is first implemented, but we have to move through the stages, and as consultants get used to it, they become more familiar, and that's when we start to see the benefits. So stage one was just familiarity. We didn't really take their glass away. We didn't take the microscopes away. We didn't do any of that. They were just getting familiar with the system and understanding it and asking any questions, having training sessions. And then it moves on to stage two. We didn't enforce a target. All of the clinical leads of each specialty were given sort of an end date of when we wanted to achieve things, but there was no forcing the issue. that will just foster resistance and negativity around it. And then there was a final formal sign-off, and then they stopped getting the glass. So at that point, we don't see the benefit. It is slower for them. They're not used to it. It's like driving a car. All of a sudden, you switch it to from an automatic to a manual. You don't know how to do it. So they have to get used to it. And then we move into fluency, which is when you sort of hit the jackpot, I would say. And then we've got moved to a different virtual working environment. So this has really built resistance into the department, and it's improving work-life balance for a lot of consultants. So we've had occasions where there's been family emergencies and our consultants have had to fly to Indica. In a normal situation, we would lose a whole time equivalent consultant. What happened there is they continued to work from Indica and it made India, and it made no difference to us as a workforce. We gave all 34 consultants the same setup at home. They all have identical workstations, and they have identical reporting procedures. And this is the system that they're using. So it's Indica Labs and Halo AP. So really user-friendly, adaptable, intuitive, reliable, and I think in a high throughput lab, that is the bit that we require. We need reliability. We don't need all the bells and whistles, although there are a lot of bells and whistles, but we need it to function. We've got consultants that have been working with a microscope for 40 plus years, and they've adapted very easily to this system. So that tells me that it's very adaptable. You can see there they can do all of the things with a few clicks of a mouse. So it's incredible, really. And this is something that we're now able to do. So this is a case that was could traditionally take over a week to collate. Now, within a couple of days, we can have all the images all together within the same space. And down on the bottom right is an image of digital immunofluorescence. So we are the only site in the UK that is able to do that. So that's with the scanners, but also with the integration of Indica and Halo AP. And that's attracted quite a lot of attention because this is something that degrades over time. It's something that's difficult to teach on. It's often something that's left and it's hard to store. So if we can get the image saved, it can be used for all training purposes with bigger audiences, and we don't need to maintain the the multi-header microscope. So there are systemic problems, and they are NHS-wide. They're not specific to NUH, but it's the LIMS capability. The NHS infrastructure is old generally. There isn't a wealth of money out there. It's free at the point of care, so we have to be very careful with how we spend all of the money. Pathologist training, so the RCPath exam is still on glass, so we're in this digital era where all the departments have moved to a digital system, but they have to do their exam on a glass and a glass microscope. So that is, I'm hoping, is going to change soon because we have to have a dual training processes for consultants in place. Funding. So digital pathology got a huge grant of money from NHS England, and every lab is supposed to be adopting it. In 2 years' time, there is no more money. The trust is expected to support it. They will, because we no longer have the facility for microscopes and they won't want the diagnostic service to collapse, understandably. But that still has to come from somewhere. So we have to find efficiencies elsewhere. And I think as we move on to talk about future prospects like AI, there'll be a lot of money thrown at that as well. But we can only take the AI on if it can generate a benefit and a cost reduction within our department. But there are several benefits, and I think it's important to embrace the benefits despite the challenges. So there's been greater flexibility, there's faster review of cases, it's much easier to get second opinions, so they can share over teams, the system enables people to be able to, there's like a chat in it, and they can ping it over to the consultants, to different consultants, working from home. Space is a challenge. Traditionally, every consultant has an office. There's 34 consultants. We have 34 offices, but as things expand, we're not going to get 40 offices and then 45 offices. That's just ridiculous. And that was one of the selling points of digital pathology in the first place. So there's no way we're going to get any more offices. So we need to adopt a hybrid working style and improve turnaround times, which I will go on to shortly. Productivity, I will go on in the next slide. And then team morale. So I think being not only is the workflow process improved, people don't feel like they're chasing their tails all the time. They feel like they know the job they've got to do. The work gets out. It's not demoralizing when they come into the lab and there's thousands of blocks waiting for them to do. There's a sense of achievement. And with consultants now, that flexibility and their work-life balance is really helping for retention. And then outcome. So this is where we sort of are now. It takes 2.5 days on average, including the digital scanning for everything to go through, which gives our consultants 7.5 days to hit the 10-day turnaround time. One of the things when we moved to first in, first out really helps digital pathology. So before, when we're in the old system of different priorities, all of those different steps that everyone were taking, we were stopping the scanner, putting something else in, rejigging it all. Now we just put everything on and we know roughly average times that things are going to scan. So we've introduced like a level of reliability for pathologists. So we're not being chased. We're not being, you know, rushed. Everything, they know when things are going to come out now, and they know that it's going to be of a high standard. And then this is sort of our workflow now. So instead of like piles of glass, you would have the QC step, Indica and Halo use a tagging system. So we would just tag it to the GI pool. We work on a pooled system for pathologists, so they just pull from the oldest case at the top. And if there is something urgent, we do obviously have escalation processes if something is needs to be escalated. All we need to do is stat, and it moves it right to the top of the list, and the consultants just report from the top of the list and pull off into their individual work lists. So that makes it a lot easier to audit, a lot easier to manage the workload. And for myself, I know what's waiting instead of things being hidden in consultant offices that are unable to be monitored. We are UCAS accredited, so we were one of the first sites to gain UCAS accreditation for digital pathology, and that was back in January 23, with no non-conformances around it. All of our consultants, all 34 of them, are validated now, and none of the specialities receive any glass anymore, except for cytology. But that's not because we were unable to do it. That's just because there was no funding there, and that wasn't the original within the original plan. But we will be moving towards that as the next quality improvement. So this is where we were in November 2023. So, you know, I could stand here and fudge some figures, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to give you a realistic comparison between October 22. And then I picked the month that had the very similar workload and similar complexity to see where we are. So not at 98%. The NHS England target is in step changes. So it's 70%, then 80%. And then by March 25, we need to hit 98%. But currently we have months that are significantly higher than that. But that's just for comparison of where we are. But then of note, in certain specialities, there is significant difference. So I've been told by my clinical colleagues that that's down to the different specimen types and it being more suited for digital pathology. I think overall, every specialism gets an advantage. I suspect it's to do with the fluency element that we talked about earlier on. So while it's difficult to differentiate the change between the lean workflow and digital system, in GI, we noticed a 16% increase from when we did the work for the lean workflow, and then we saw an increase, and then another 16% after they went live with digital pathology. So, you know, while we've been live with digital pathology for 2 years, we're now starting to see and be able to pick apart all of the stats and all of the benefits. So I think we were all told, or definitely within the UK, we were told you're going to see a 10%, 10 to 15% efficiency gain or improvement. That was just an estimation, but that's definitely something we're starting to see coming through at Nottingham now. And then I think future thoughts. So we are going to be integrating artificial intelligence. So our first algorithm, which is the prostate, IBEX prostate, will be going live in May, and that's for diagnostic use. And we are very excited. We're going to be collaborating with Indica on the macro dissection for tumour marking. So that's on this slide. So this is done. So there's going to be lots of benefits or anticipated benefits with this. Currently, that's done by a pathologist. When something needs tumour marking, we have to ask them to do it. Then it's a rough guess because they don't sit and count every cell. And then it comes back to us, and then we will cut the slides. Whereas with this, you will draw around the area identified. It will calculate the amount of tumour load more accurately. And it can also now be done by a BMS, so it doesn't ever have to go to the consultant once we've done it. So that will save 2 days on those sorts of samples. And then I think just look into higher scientific roles as well. And I think something we're trying to do is introduce diagnostic and clinical liaisons. So there's often a gap between our clinical colleagues and the lab, and our only sort of bridge between them is the pathologists, who are incredibly busy, don't always feed back at the right time when we need them to because of varying different things, whereas we know we can have we can bridge the gap with a different type of role. And then I guess the final reflection is that actions definitely speak louder than words. And I know that's quite a phrase that's used a lot, but I really mean it. We can have as many action plans as we want. And I'm sure we've all been in meetings where the first thing that we do is defend the fact that we've not done the action from the previous meeting and a month has moved on. Sometimes you just have to do. This was all done on no additional money. So we've moved from a position of significant backlog, inefficient processes, to in a year being the top performing in the network and in the top quartile in the UK. So that's going from the bottom performing and the bottom quartile in the UK, and no additional money. We had to be brave, and we called it holding the majority. Not everyone agreed with us. Some of the changes, we were told we were going to be damaging patient results. Who are we to decide what's urgent and what's not? Lots of things, some unpleasant things, but we have come out the other side. And I think it just demonstrates that there's significant hidden potential. No additional staff. All of that was already there. They just needed the time and the opportunity to deliver it. And then just acknowledgement. So Executive War College, I think, for inviting me, all of the university staff, Nottingham University Hospitals lab staff, and then Indica Lab. So we, in the NHS and in CellPath, we have lots of third-party providers, and Indica truly were supportive all the way through. And I've put Katie McKinley on there. She's been with us and with the Nottingham team right from the start. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. And that's it. Thank you for listening. Yes.
So, great job in the lab.
Thank you.
So we have like a small segment doing digital pathology, and we have a great setup in the lab already. But now anyone doing digital pathology, the machines are expensive. It adds a couple hours to our workflow to put it through, and you pay those techs to be there doing that. Mm. So there hasn't been any like sort of cost savings. Like, where does that cost savings with digital
come from?
Yeah. It seems to just be adding a lot of costs, mm-hmm. but not, I mean, we have increased flexibility, but that doesn't necessarily give us cost savings.
No. So we found the productivity gain that we've got from digital pathology. I wouldn't say that we have made money, but I think we've become cost neutral in that as the turnaround times increase and the productivity increases, we no longer need as many pathologists to do the same amount of work. And I think, I mean, I guess it's a different model in the US to the UK as well, and we maybe don't focus, we definitely don't focus as much, or it's not on our as top for the financial savings. But in our 5-year plan, there is now a reduction of pathologists that we need, and that's not putting pathologists out of jobs. That's just, it's actually helping address the shortage of pathologists nationally. So I think that's sort of where it comes from. So I think the more higher paid staff is where you will see the reduction. And then, yes, you do need the histotechs to, or we call them medical laboratory assistants, to load the slides. But we also don't need as much admin. We also just have everything on a schedule. So I think that's what we've tried to do as well. So that kind of answers it. Maybe not really, but tried. Sorry, the lady in the yellow. So when I was doing the presentation, I thought it was very difficult to try and put everything into it. But I'm glad you asked the question. We still only open Monday to Friday, which is something that I guess is not as usual anymore. But we now have a rapid tissue process, and we do it at steps through the day. So we'll do some in the morning, some midday, and some in the afternoon. And that really helps with the workflow, especially for digital. So that's all we did. We didn't really, I think when we're talking about workflow and everything, it's really difficult, and we can get caught up in, well, we need to look at this, and then we need to do the data, and then we need to know the benefit. But, and this is sort of what I sort of meant by actions speak louder than words. You're going to have the data, but sometimes we just need to move, and we just need to try something. And we found that by implementing the rapid processing, if it helped the workflow through the lab, it definitely helps the workflow when it hits the digital scanner and you don't have things queuing up in batches.
Great job. Fantastic to see this improvement and confidence to you and your team.
Thank you.
I have a question with regards to, if it would not have happened that you would lose the accreditation, do you believe that then everybody would be as much supportive of this? Because I do see there's a lot of funding needed, a lot of like change management needed, and you typically, that's very hard to accomplish. So again, kudos to you, but do you think that would have happened? Could that have happened without losing accreditation? Plus also, how do you ensure you're going to maintain this? Because things will change again.
Mm.
How do you stay on top of
that? Yeah, so I think often, and it's unfortunate that it takes an incident or it takes the pressure to drive the change. I think, if I'm being honest, no. I think if everything was sort of ticking along and we were sort of middle of the pack, I don't think the trust would have looked at us, because there's lots of different priorities. A lot of it is on A&E and on, bed flow and everything like that. And pathology tends to fall at the back of the queue, despite it being the largest part of the diagnostic 28-day pathway. So no is the short answer, but I think it's our job to try and push the narrative. As far as maintaining, I think that's why we've tried to build in the team from the start. So originally we had just the normal lab staff, just everyone else just trying to pick every bit of the job up, whereas now we've got this very dedicated team. So you've got myself, we have a continual improvement manager, we have two continual improvement and training leads, and then we have some continual improvement links, they're called. The links will be given dedicated time, but every other member of staff, it is their responsibility and it is their job to project manage all of the projects that are happening. So I think it means we've now got the opportunity to take on projects and the opportunity to adapt to the change that is coming, or any change that arrives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're using, we're moving to digital pathology later this year, but we're only going to scan it there for 60 days because I still got to keep the slide. We want the benefit of the workflow.
Yeah.
And I think there's a savings where I feel the savings and the benefit to the patient to get that report out sooner does come with a dollar amount too. So, I mean, our focus on the patient and getting that report out sooner. But how do you deal with the point where you're, where you are, scanning and storing everything? I mean, the cost has to be tremendous. So, what, how do you all handle the storage costs when you're doing away with the glass slide?
Yeah, so we keep, how long do you keep your glass slides for? Forever? 10 years, yeah. So, same for us. We have long storage and short storage, and I think this is something that I don't have the answer for you, unfortunately. But it's something that came with the business case, and I think we will have to just. I think it'll come with a risk assessment, unfortunately. I think if we're keeping the glass slide, it's the same as, we're going to store the image for 10 years. That's got to be what the aim is. If the aim is to store the glass slide for 10 years, then if we're going to move to digital images, then the same will apply. And then it'll just be, I guess it'll be a regulatory change or if. Do you store all your glass slides on site? Or are they? Yeah, so I guess that takes up space and estate, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't really have the storage costs associated. I mean, that's different from place to place.
Yeah.
You could be actually paying an outside storage, and there is savings there.
Yeah.
So it probably varies, but I was still very set. I feel like the imaging space has been unpacked forever.
Yeah.
They're used to what their storage costs
are. Yeah, yeah.
I was really surprised at what the storage costs.
I think maybe... If you're not having to use the space to store all the glass, then you could bring in different equipment and different tests, and that would bring in extra activity, wouldn't it? And maybe that would balance it. That's the only thing I could think. Yeah. I mean, it is very exciting. Yeah. It is really exciting. There's a few pathologists that wouldn't go back now. David Clark always says it. He says if we take the digital pathology system away, he's going to retire. And it doesn't mean that in a threatening way. It just means that's how much he enjoys it. And I think now a lot of pathologists, if they went back to glass or if we could change the workflow back to how it was, no one would want that anymore. But it's getting over that hurdle initially, which is the challenge, I think.
Did you say that all your pathologists work
from home? Not all. Most have some element of hybrid working, so we can share office space now. Yeah, it really is. Because some of them travel an hour and a half or 2 hours to come in. So I think the flexible working, it does help. And it helps retention as well.
Yeah. So aside from the slide storage, our biggest problem is the digital storage. And we hate to delete the stuff after a certain amount of time. I think that's how we started doing it. But there's such a benefit to keeping those digital files. We've done all the work. And then you can set it for consults, outside other hospitals.
Just plan on rescanning it if we have to send it out for a consult. Because then there's no, for how we're storing it, it's in the cloud, so there's literally no storage cost. So it was a good way for us to get going on it, and not get the funding for it. And then if we need to send something out for consultation, we'll rescan it at that point. Ideally, we'd like to store it all, but that's a separate business case analysis for the point. For the point in time down the road, or when the U.S. decides it, storing the image is acceptable.
Yeah.
So we decided to take it in two phases because it made the funding for digital pathology much more palatable.
Yeah.
Is there a method to the rollout of the acceptance of the workflow from the doctors? Do you start with the tech savvy, younger consultants?
No, we didn't do that. We didn't do it with any tech savvy ones. So David Clark, who is our sort of digital champion of consultants, he works for the in sort of the heme section, and they were the first group of staff to test it and go live. And I think when you had someone he was very keen. He proved that it would work. The team that his speciality. Prove that it can work, and that speciality has a lot of complex cases. So it was a speciality that had a decent amount of workload, quite a bit of complexity, and it just meant that we were taking, I guess, reasons or excuse away from other specialties that when they went live. That what we did do then is move to the higher throughput discipline. So our highest throughput is GI, makes up about 30% of our workload. So they were the next one to go because we wanted to try and demonstrate the benefits. And if you can do it in a large team, then you can definitely do it in the smaller teams. Any other questions? No? Thank you very much.
This concludes the presentation. Please visit the Executive War College website for details on the 2025 event.